why.
If he's going to make a documentary about it, it better be tiny. Otherwise, what's the point? Right. If he's just like Mr. Average.
And then maybe he just is like average and he wants everyone to say, no, it's fine.
No, it's great. It's huge.
That's the whole point of the movie.
We need two screens.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Can I kick off?
Yes.
All right, so I want to kick off with some penis news. Hashtag penis news, my favorite segment, Member on the Move.
All right.
Dick updates.
All right. So if you weren't listening.
Yeah, this is the last word in scrotum, people. So I found this, penispans.com. So you know when you have like a bachelorette party or, you know, like a gag thing. So you buy a penis pan and you make a penis cake out of it.
And you frost it with a variety of frosting colors.
Exactly. So some woman has come up with the penispans.com. Can't believe that URL was available. One woman struggled to use her penis pan. So she has purchased a penis pan, and now she wants to know what else can she do with it.
Okay.
All right. So it says, so you own a penis cake pan.
So now what?
But the bachelorette party is over. I'm sure you're thinking, what am I going to do with this penis pan? Yeah. I'm thinking throw it out, but no.
But
she's
no,
got a lot of excuses.
Wait a minute. I can't think of anything. Maybe like a water dish for your dog?
The stuff that she comes up with, I'll give you. Okay.
See, that was my first one. I think it's gold.
So she says, first you can make a wizard cake. So the shaft part of the penis. And then the sack area makes the face It still looks like a penis.
A little round face. Okay.
The second thing she says is an alligator cake. So you put the eyes, like one eye on each ball sack. The shaft is the nose and the mouth.
Oh, my God.
But it still looks like a penis.
Yeah.
The other one that she comes up with is a palm tree cake. And this looks like a penis that has sprouted. Out of the scrotum. These things all look like penises. Like, these are the kind of things that show up in, like, the paper and are like, someone tried to pass off, a palm tree.
And it really is.
It's just a dick.
This is offensive. Oh, my. And the classic move
an
here.
An elephant. The ears are the, respective scroti, if you will. And then the trunk is the shaft. She also comes up with a farm cake. It's a bunch of sheep on scrotum. And then there's, like, a shaft.
That's the silo.
The silo of the shaft.
That's
still looks 100% like a penis.
Which one looks the least like a penis out of all of them?
I would say the one that looks the least like the penis is the... None of them. They all look like penises to me. There's a firework cake that looks just like a penis.
That's in bad taste.
It's in poor taste.
Yeah.
There's also a lighthouse that looks also like a penis. A penis that can be seen at night. From, 600 leagues away.
But what kind of, what event are you going to make the lighthouse cake for?
Lighthouse Day? I don't know. I don't understand.
Your wasp. Your ship has come in.
Yes. Ship has come in. It's clearly a double entendre.
Yeah.
And then it looks like a penis.
Yeah.
She also has given us the Christmas tree. And this is the rudest one of all.
The Christmas tree.
To destroy a beautiful holiday with a big old schlong. Decorated.
I don't know if a schlong would destroy my holiday.
But it's not, how people are. It's not, a Christmas tree is a triangle.
Yeah.
This is clearly a dick.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
That's
so
awesome.
What else has she come up with? And that's it. So those are your options for your penis pan. The thing is, anything that you make out of this penis pan is just going to look like a penis.
Right, with some...
That's decorated. I think the most...
And that's really that they have children running around the...
Yes, there's children running around the bottom of the UFO cake.
Yeah, the UFO. I don't know what that is.
The shaft is a UFO taking off.
I thought it was a rocket, but it's a UFO?
A UFO taking off. I think my favorite one, though, is the...
I've got a whole story here about this UFO taking off without the kids. And they're like, wait, forgot me.
Stop.
It's about creation. It's about procreation.
I think my favorite one is the farm cake because it's just clearly a bunch of farm animals playing around by the scrotum, which is fenced off, and then a silo on top that has a nice brown cap on it. I don't know what that is, but it's just bizarre. You know what? There's only one thing you can really do with a penis cake pan is to make a really nice dick cake. So focus on that. Don't try to repurpose it because anywhere if you take this to a children's party...
Forget it.
Forget it. They're never going to stop giggling. Ever. It's hilarious. It's clearly a penis. And that is my penis news for today. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
I will post these on our Tumblr so you can see that you cannot take a penis and make anything out of it legitimate. Maybe a dragon. Which is in itself a penis. Let's be clear. All right, so what do you have?
I have your robot news.
Nice. So Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robopocalypse, which is happening this year, starting in South Korea.
Right.
So be ready for it. Look out for your toaster to act up.
We don't know any other details, but we just know.
We just know. We have a feeling. We're hooked on that feeling.
Yes. Okay.
We're high on believing.
This is robot hitchhikes across Canada.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
Who picked it up? I'm running that thing down.
All right, there's a curious case of the Canadian hitchhiking robot in July.
Oh, it's in Canada. They're nice.
That's what they talk about this, too. In July, researchers from a pair of Canadian universities deployed HitchBot.
A duo.
They deployed HitchBot onto the highways of the Great White North.
Are we missing hitchhikers at this point in our society?
It was an experiment where this bot, as they call it, traveled from Halifax.
Is that comma BOT?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
All right.
Traveled from Halifax, Nova Scotia, to Victoria, British Columbia, hitchhiking the entire way.
Wow.
So that's all the way across.
Okay.
By the way. The project was part of a larger research study concerning the utility of social robots and the psychology of human kindness. So it was like a slam dunk doing it in Canada, because Canada's so nice.
That's not fair. You need to do it somewhere where people just don't give an F.
Here,
yes.
In the U.S.
Yes, give it the New York, New Jersey area.
People would have drew penises on it.
Well,
it picked it up and it was like,
it would have started out as a full robot, and by the end, it's just a couple of nuts, a couple of bolts, and a spanner. There's nothing else left. That would have been stripped down clean in New Jersey.
It had an LED screen face to petition for rides.
That would have been gone.
It made the coast-to-coast trip in 21 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Plugging into car cigarette lighters to recharge, posting videos on social media. It did on its own. It's like, I'm here.
What are they trying to prove? That we're ready for the robot overlords? And apparently these guys don't even have anything.
Yes,
like a robot down on his luck? We live in a culture where people step over a homeless person.
Yeah. And that's why, they did it in Canada, because Canada's awesome. They have nice people.
What did the robot look like?
It just looked like a little... I don't have a picture here.
Okay.
I don't have a picture here, but it was small, so they could pick it up and put it in.
Because I feel like in the U.S., people would be like, you need to get a job.
Right.
Like, you need to put that thumb down.
Oh, yeah, right.
And use that opposable thumb to fill out some kind of a form to get yourself a J-O-B.
Yeah, you need some money.
What do I look like?
Yeah.
You know?
So it would post, this was the thing, it would post videos and messages on social media to chronicle its trip across the country. And it would say, hi there, I'm HitchBot, a robot from Ontario. And it says here from, July 27th to August 21st, I hitchhiked over 6,000 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And I explored Canada. Okay, so this February, my adventure continues as I explore Germany. My journey will begin in Munich.
Oh, he's going to get laid. Hands down.
But he also says, as I explored Canada, I made a lot of friends and shared great memories.
No, you didn't. You don't have the capacity to do either of those things. Right.
Including attending a wedding, dancing in Saskatchewan, and meeting some of Canada's First Nations.
Please let somebody bring...
You didn't make any friends.
...a robot up into my wedding. Chicken or salmon?
So now the trip, as I said, is going across Germany. I don't know.
They're very savvy in picking countries in which because I'm imagining where I'm from, from a rural area. If you see something like that, you're like, you know what? I kind of needed a part from a truck.
But if I saw
it's parts. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. But really, if you knew what it was, say would you pick it up?
No.
No.
I have no idea where it came from. Who's controlling it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's autonomous, I definitely don't want it in my vehicle because I don't know what the background of this kind of thing is.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't pick up a robot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't stop and pick up, a TV off the side of the road either.
No,
That's not something that I would do.
Yeah, so he has a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram account.
I'm interested to see, did only white people pick this robot up? what is the,
Yeah.
What kind of people, was it young people? Were they students? Who picked this up and who passed it by? I feel like if this were in the United States, somebody would have run it down already.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be making a completely different kind of video statement.
Right. Oh, my God.
Like a manifesto or something on YouTube.
Yeah. It gets really dark when we think about it.
What people can do.
In the U.S.
Yes. That's why they don't bring it here.
Yeah.
That shit try and cross the border.
Yeah. So it was a study about the utility of social robots and the psychology of human kindness. So what is this? So it's like, it's just soaking up the information on what it
is. And nobody called, like, I would probably, and I'm not, you know, this kind of person, but, you know, I might call Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, like, I'm not at the point yet where if I saw Chappie, you've seen the video, yeah, for the, if I see that shit walking down the highway, I am in panic mode. This is a 911 situation. Mm-hmm. You need to get this scrap metal thing that's going down the highway off the highway.
Yeah.
Canada. So that'll be the scary. First, apparently Canada is where it's going to start, right?
Canada.
Yes.
That's
the real experience.
Stay aware of Canada. Yeah. Protect us all.
Yeah, because now they know that you guys are down with this.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right, you are the gateway.
Yeah, Canada's the gateway. That's what it's going to... Well, it's going to start in Korea, but first it's going to go to Canada.
Well, that's
how... And then it's going to come over here.
It's the delivery system.
Yeah.
Canada.
Canada is the delivery system.
Right. All right, so everyone, keep your wits about you up there.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
And stay warm.
I have a little tale from Dare Campfire. Can I get an introduction?
Yes. Tales from Dare Campfire is a segment wherein we find a ghost story, a legend, a myth.
Folklore.
Right, and we retell it around the digital campfire.
So I have something here. It's called...
Gather around, listeners.
Oh, sorry about that.
You have to gather around first before you can listen to it.
They weren't even here yet, and I started the story. Let me back myself up. So this is called The Ghoul from the Closet. And this is because I was doing a little research on what a ghoul is.
Ooh.
Because it wasn't really clear to me.
We haven't talked about ghouls. Yeah.
And I wasn't satisfied with what I found.
All right.
But I did like the story.
Okay.
So the story, this is by Mary, you know. The
Mary.
Story I'm about to tell you is 100% true.
Sure.
About 2 years
why not?
Ago. Yeah. In October, I was sleeping over at a friend's house. After a long day of gossip and stories, they sound like old ladies. We were getting ready for bed, not to sleep, but to stay up late and watch movies.
Okay.
Around 1 a.m., my friend went to bed, but I stayed up a little longer to watch the rest of the movie. And after the movie was finished, I started to nod off. I woke up about 2 hours later, freezing cold.
Well.
Cold spot.
Yeah.
I got up to check the thermostat. It was completely normal, untouched. All the windows were closed. The door was shut. I was perplexed. Mm. My friend was sleeping soundly, but I felt like I was in a freezer. In an attempt to warm myself, I grabbed the covers, I assume from the friend.
Yeah, right? There's only one set. Yes. And if someone's going down, it's not going to be me.
Well, she's asleep.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes later, I heard a noise. Oh. Kind of like something sifting through plastic bags and clothes.
Yeah, that's a scary one.
Yeah.
Because that's deliberate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're looking for something. They have a plan, right? I soon realized it was coming from the closet. Again, freaking.
Not fun.
I lifted myself on my elbows to see across the room. My blood
big
ran
mistake.
Cold. Yeah.
Big mistake.
Cover yourself up.
Yeah.
What I saw was terrifying. A woman was coming out of the closet. She was naked, very pale, and had long, dark hair hanging over her face. I shook my sleeping friend beside me, but she wouldn't wake up.
Yeah, smart move.
They never did. She was probably awake, was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Get her.
I saw tears.
Every cell in my body screamed for me to run, but I felt I was rooted in place. The woman was getting closer, and then I noticed her arms and fingers were unnaturally long.
That's not cool.
She grabbed my leg. Her ice-cold fingers penetrated through the thick quilt, and it felt like I was burning.
Wait.
I kicked my legs as hard as I could.
I would too.
One of my kicks got the woman in the stomach. She staggered backward and fell to the ground without a sound. Now, here's the creepy part.
That's like Madonna when she fell down off those steps. She did not make a peep.
She didn't say anything.
She got right back up and sang, "A love will lift me up again."
So she kicked the woman. The woman then crawled backwards towards the closet like a spider.
Yeah. Oh.
She sank into the pile of clothes like it was water. Her head was the last thing to sink down. I saw that she was grinning, a horrible grin that would scare even a crying baby into silence. Creepy, right?
I would say maybe a silent baby started crying.
No, this is the other way. A baby was like, zhoom, the music stopped.
And then...
So the baby was crying and saw this and was like, F it.
I can't even waste another tear on this.
Forget it. The next morning, I told my friend I wasn't feeling well and went home. when she asked if something happened last night, I just said, you know what? I'm not feeling well, okay?
Yeah. Did you hear me?
Did you hear me? I'm not feeling well.
Yeah.
To this day, I still won't go to her house.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
I mean, she's still my friend. But I'm not really trying to go back up in that house. Emphasis mine. I think that's creepy. What's creepy,
that's really creepy
to me about this story is, because I'm not much of a scaredy cat, but the idea of something crawling backwards is creepy. Because then it's like, you know what? I'll be back. I'm just going to like slowly inch away and then save it up for
later. I got my eyes on you. Yes. That's what it's saying. See these two?
You can see. You're marked.
Right.
You're marked. So that's the ghoul from the closet. So then
a ghoul,
it's kind of, I found so many contradictory things. It's kind of like a ghost. It's kind of like a spirit. I'm really going to have to look into it more.
Okay.
I mean, it means different things in different cultures. But I couldn't find anything that would allow me to give you like a definitive answer. So maybe next time I'll have to check it out. A ghoul.
And listeners, if you have a favorite ghoul definition or story.
Yeah, let us know.
And heyyouknowit at gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm assuming, I mean, this is a ghoul must be a human-like creature. That can, or something that takes human form. And I don't know if
it has a mission. That's what I think.
I mean, I don't know if it's just imposing. For example, like in the Lord of the Rings, they had the Nazgul.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just kind of around. They're ethereal, but they're kind of human-like. I don't know. So, yeah, if anybody knows, definitely let us know.
Yeah.
And if anyone sends us an email, we'll read it on the air.
Yeah. It's going to be.
And we'll thank you for it.
Right, you'll have that going for you.
Yeah. Also, if anyone sends us or writes us a 5-star review, we will read that on the air, too, regardless of content. And we will thank you as well.
Right.
Yeah. All right, cool. So what do you have?
I have your this article. This is a how-to article.
Sweet.
It's one of our favorites.
Okay.
And this is how to run away intelligently.
Okay. From...
So it says here, it's a wiki. Running away from home while it seems liberating and glamorous is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be sleeping on the streets, scrounging for food, and life certainly won't be easy.
I mean, unless you run to somewhere else that you know where you're going to.
That being said, sometimes a home situation is so bad that running away still looks like the better option.
True.
This is true.
Yeah,
this is true. If you've thought it through and still want to run away, but run away successfully, it's time to start getting ready.
I want to know what the success, like, what makes it a success? Is it the running? Like, okay.
All right, so number one, prepare your departure.
Mm-hmm.
Save up some cash, ideally at least $1,000.
Wow. Really? How?
I don't think that's enough.
I mean, if that were, you know, I always wanted to run away.
Mm-hmm.
But if I waited, I had $1,000, I probably would have been like 20.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saving, working and saving, working and saving.
Right. I ran away once, but it was like just like to the next.
You didn't get far.
I didn't get too far. It was like about, I don't know, maybe.
Like a mile away?
No, probably a 3-minute walk from my house, and I made a little teepee out of sticks from the woods.
That was more of a protest.
And I sat inside it, and I was like, it's getting dark and cold.
Yeah, no, I didn't think this through.
Yeah, I don't have $1,000. I'm going back.
When I was growing up, because I grew up in such a rural area, which you know, that was like a dream to be able to run away.
Yeah.
We couldn't even hitchhike. Like, there was, if you hitchhiked, it would definitely be like your uncle and just take your ass back home.
Yeah.
Like, there was nowhere to go. All right, so get $1,000somehow.
If you don't have a job or a place lined up.
What's $1,000 going to do? You can't even, like, get a room.
I know, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Practice living like a runaway. Before you actually run away, you should practice living like one, especially if you want to run away intelligently.
Okay.
This, by large, means two things. Find ways to scavenger for food. So now practice this.
Okay.
Whether it's seeing what a few days off the dollar menu feels like, or dumpster diving, practice.
Okay.
It's a good idea to see what you're in for, food and drink-wise. So really just take a day or two and just try to scavenge for food. Don't buy it. You can't go. You have to go back into a dumpster.
Or McDonald's is what they seem to be equating this with. So either you eat out of the trash or McDonald's. Same thing. Dollar menu or just some old sandwich from like a dumpster. Right. Fine.
Right. But start getting used to it.
Equivalent.
And then practice sleeping in uncomfortable places.
No, that would have been my house.
Just sleeping on benches.
Okay.
Behind bushes, curled in corners, you name it.
Behind a bush?
Yeah, go take a nap behind a bush.
Okay.
See how you like
See how you like it. Yeah.
You won't be sleeping in your 1,000 thread count Egyptian cotton sheets anymore.
No, I wasn't. I mean, what am I running from? A hotel? I'm running from, like, the W? Jesus. I don't even have thousand count now.
If applicable, find somewhere to land. Sometimes runaways just go. That's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the run part.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's youth shelters. They're not a good place to stay forever, but they can get you, they can give you that time to figure out a situation.
I feel like this should be the first thing. Like, if you really feel like you cannot stay in your home, mm-hmm. and you're an adolescent, you need to seek out some
assistance.
Kind of shelter.
Yeah.
You know? Like you can't just be, you know, behind a dumpster at McDonald's.
No. Not practicing sleeping behind a bush.
No.
That's not a good thing to do.
How do you practice that? Today I was back there for 3 hours. Tomorrow I'll up to four.
Yeah, you know, so shelters, and go to a friend or extended family member.
Yeah, that's the best way to go, I think, if you have somewhere to go.
Right.
Now, I mean, what's the thread count going to be like at that place?
Yeah.
You know?
Pack your bag well. A good waterproof backpack should be what you're working with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're quite wealthy now, I guess.
Yeah, you never know if you're going to get caught in the snow or rain.
What about the old stick? When I was a little kid, I remember always seeing, you know, quote unquote hobos.
Right.
With a stick, and then they had like a kerchief at the end of it. What was in that?
Yeah, right.
It's like they traveled light.
Yeah.
They traveled a way that I wish I could travel when I'm traveling third class.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm on the airplane. Like, I don't have to check anything.
Oh, my God.
A waterproof backpack?
This gets worse. Inside should be a warm sleeping bag, a flashlight, batteries, a compass, layered clothing, a knife.
A compass? Where the fuck are you going?
A knife to defend yourself with.
Are you on Survivor? What happened?
Oh, my God.
Are we going to the Outback?
They're like, that's it. That's all you need. That's all you should. You've got to travel light.
I feel like if I'm carrying a knife, I don't need to go there. Wherever it is, I think I'm going.
Leave a note. Though it may seem counterintuitive, be sure to hide a note, but it has to be easy to find.
That note probably only has like two words in it.
Yeah, because the authorities are going to investigate a kidnapping more than a runaway case.
This person is really putting a lot of faith in the authorities.
Yeah. Leave when the weather's good.
Okay.
That's smart. Don't go like in November.
Yeah, when it's raining. Wait.
It's cold.
Wait it out. I guess be on the West Coast would be the next thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Get on a bus or train.
Well, okay, yeah.
Don't let yourself get caught electronically. That means
Excuse me?
Do not bring your cell phone, iPod, iPad, or other portable electronic devices with you. They'll track you.
Who's looking for your ass? You ran off.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you have to run away, no one cares.
Right. And don't update your social media either, saying, I'm so tired of this crap. I'm going to run away.
I'm behind this dumpster.
It sucks back beer behind this dumpster.
Yes. And then geotag it so people know exactly where you are.
Right.
I'm trying to think of, like, did any of my friends run? No, because where I'm from, it's so country that people would be like, look, I'm just going to go, like, rent a trailer somewhere.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Once you get to maybe it's different in the suburbs probably, but in the country, like, once you get to, like, 16.
Yeah. Well.
You're fairly adult. Go get a job.
Yeah.
You know, go work at a convenience store and then get a place.
Yeah.
You don't have to run at that point.
Yeah, right. Unless you did something.
Yeah, unless you did something. Like, that's on the lam, though. We're talking about legitimate runaways.
If necessary, change your appearance.
Wear a beard.
Glasses with a mustache attached to it, right?
You know, it's never occurred to me, though, that they're maybe when they're, like, missing persons, and the kid is like, I've changed everything.
Yeah.
I was a redhead.
But now.
Now.
Never try to contact friends after leaving unless you're 100% sure they will not inform the authorities.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad, yeah.
Let's see. Eat on the cheap. Find somewhere to sleep. We already covered that. You know, coping with potential problems.
Okay.
Page.
Yeah. I'm scared of this. We turn it with bated breath.
Yeah. Hitchhike.
No.
It's bad news. Don't
unless
do that.
You're a robot, skip it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's no reason for you to get in an enclosed space with anybody.
No. I can't. I'm trying to think of if I've ever hitchhiked before. Yes, I did, actually. When I lived in Budapest, I had a job that was an hour outside of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I was a teacher.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit older. And I caught a ride with this guy who was doing long haul because he was going in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I caught a ride with him. And I was like, oh, what are you hauling in the back of your truck? And he was like, rubbers. I'm like, he was hauling humorous condoms. So they were
what?
Condoms that had like a dog face on it or a cat. They were like joke condoms.
Oh my god.
So I hitchhiked with this guy who was really cool, and then a month later I hitchhiked with him as well.
No kidding.
It was the only time I'd ever hitchhiked because I felt like, okay, I'm a black person in Hungary, everyone's seen me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm an American. Yeah. But it was just the weirdest thing. He was a really nice guy and he was really embarrassed. He didn't want to tell me what he was hauling.
Yeah.
Because he thought I'd be creeped out by it. Yeah. But I thought it was hilarious.
I would have been
nothing funnier than a condom with a pig face on it.
Well, anyway, when they say for hitchhiking, position yourself near gas stations near the entrance to a freeway, and then you'll be able to approach the drivers you think might give you a ride. And then they say young and old people are the best. Avoid those in suits.
Excuse me?
Yeah. And guys in suits. Forget it.
Wow. I'm guessing guys in suits know about that and quickly change out of it.
Yeah.
If you try to hitch a ride with someone and they say like ass, gas, or grass, be out.
Oh, my God.
You've never heard that
before. I've never heard that. That's horrible.
Yes. I don't know if people are still saying that now, but it's like, you know, you're hitching a ride, so what are you going to contribute?
Ass.
Gas or grass. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. What else do we have?
And they say, don't jump trains.
So is that even possible in 2015?
I think so. There are still cargo trains that do stop and you can
do the rails. Yeah. When I was traveling, when I was 19, I met people who were traveling like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in 1994, and I couldn't believe it. Like, I felt like I had been transported back in time.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, God.
To, like, Grapes of Wrath kind of shit.
Prepare yourself against getting robbed.
Ugh. How? I guess this is where the knife comes
in. If you act afraid and make yourself a target, you may find yourself victim of petty crimes. So you act confident wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Use a secret compartment in your backpack, if possible, to hide your stuff. And there's a thing as adventure underwear. It has pockets.
Excuse me?
Yeah. It has pockets. Thieves will generally not check up your underwear. So
I would hope not. Because then you have another problem.
Yeah. I know, right? Oh, my God.
This must be for guys, right? I can't imagine my underwear having a secret pocket in it anywhere.
No. I've never had a secret pocket in my underwear.
No. I keep my passport on the left cheek.
Oh, God.
And my license is some cash on the right cheek.
Oh, my God. Know your legal situation. Know where you're going to be 18. If you're going to be, where are you considered an adult?
Okay. Oh, that's actually useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's interesting because in the South, if you are a young person, it doesn't seem as unreasonable to be on your own and get a job and get a place. Maybe this is outdated as it does in some other areas of the country.
Yeah.
Where they feel like an 18-year-old is not an adult. When I was growing up 16, it's like, okay, you can do whatever you want.
But it's illegal to run away under the age of 18 in certain states.
How is that illegal?
So if you come back, then you could be arrested.
I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Why are we...
Or face a penalty, not arrested.
But why criminalize... Like, if someone's run away from home, there's obviously
reason,
a thing.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back and what? Now they have to deal with the situation and they're going to be arrested.
Right.
I don't think that's right. You should be able to own yourself at a certain point.
And it's, you know, the last bit of advice, which should have been the first bit of advice, was call a runaway hotline.
Yes!
There's a place, there's Covenant House, that's in New York and
D.C., I've seen.
And Los Angeles. And there's 1-800-RUNAWAY. That's another. I mean, man.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I saw this. This was like, this is out there. For these kids are looking at this. Like,
well, I think there's. It's hard because if you are, what if you're 17?
Yeah.
You know, like that if you're 16? Like I said, when I was growing up, when you turned 16, you were considered to be an adult because you could drop out of school. And you could get a job, and that was not in Kent County, Maryland, that was not really a big deal. Like, you could move, you could emancipate yourself and be out. I guess, it's dicey for young people, but what if you're 17, you're like, I fucking had it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this
just
anymore,
go.
I need to get out of here. Yeah. You know, who's going to take you in? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It just reminds me, The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton.
Yes!
Where they, you know, they got into a fight and accidentally killed someone, so they had a runoff.
They
went to a church, hid in a church, an old abandoned church, right? And then they dyed their hair blonde.
Yeah.
Peroxide.
Well, I mean, I guess they were following, disguise, how you look.
Yeah.
I mean, they were felons, but that's a whole different situation.
So there. Everybody stay gold.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I like the idea, too, that a young person, like when we were kids, we just had to wonder about it. Now you can Google it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be creative and figure it out on your own.
I know. Kids, I hope you all are safe if you hear us.
I just wanted to bring us back to penis for a second. This is
sure.
a quick one. Quick in and out.
Okay.
I just thought this was so bizarre. some dude in 2005 made a film called My Penis and I. It's about having...
What?
The film is about having a small penis. And that's horrible to say because it's true, but why is it a problem? This is what the film is about.
Uh-huh.
So the My Penis and I follows... It's a documentary. It follows this dude's two-year journey to discover if size matters. I'm guessing that he found out that it did.
I don't think it does.
This guy, I think, has a micro penis.
A micro penis, yeah. Okay.
Now you've changed your tune.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, this is... I'm talking about just the regular insecurity of a guy.
If he's going to make a documentary about it, it better be tiny. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
If he's just like Mr. Average.
And then maybe he just is like average and he wants everyone to say, no, it's fine.
No, it's great. It's huge.
That's the whole point of the movie.
We need two screens.
Yeah.
So it says, it charts the effect my penis has had on my life, my family.
What?
And my relationship with my girlfriend, Nicola.
Oh, Nicola. Nicholas, like, leave me out of this.
But more importantly, the film is now out of BBC licensing, and I am free to distribute it non-commercially, and good luck.
She's taking all comers.
My penis and I can't, I mean, I'm not saying it's not something worthy, but it's like, dude, unless you've got something dramatic about your penis, maybe a documentary. Mm-hmm. Like, what his penis has meant to his family? Nothing.
Nothing at all.
And is he going to interview, like, his mom and his dad and his grandmother and his granddad, like, mm-hmm. about his penis? Mm. Bizarre. And what about Nicola? Where's that story?
She should
do a documentary called His Penis and Him.
Yeah.
Like, the importance of his penis to me. It's like it's a 60-second film.
Yeah. That's it.
My Penis and I.
That's
it. I don't like myself
horrible.
That much to do
it's
a documentary about.
Title.
My Vajayjay and Me. I'm not gonna be correct grammatically because I don't care.
Yeah.
My penis and I. Come along with us on a journey. Like, does it start off with the penis? Like, hi.
And he's gotta be walking. I'm sure he's walking down a road and there's gonna be music playing under him. Mm-hmm. Taking this walk. Right?
Yeah. Have you ever wondered about my penis? No.
No.
Not at all. All right, so Katie has brought back this super fancy travel magazine.
Yes.
Which, once again, as I described, is made out of
wood.
Well,
it's a design magazine.
And it's lashed together with a deer hide.
Right.
So what do they have now?
This is called, these are different advances of things that we're going to see in the future.
Mm-hmm. That they say we're going to see.
20 Ways Travel is Changing, and I talked about some in a previous episode, but this one is called... It's a little picture here, Living Among the Stars.
Okay, like not celebrities. Like
Thank
it's
you.
actually
out in space, in the atmosphere.
Yeah, in the ether.
Yeah. It says, since 1999, Bigelow Aerospace has been engineering inflatable habitats that could bring us the world's first space hotel.
Mm-hmm. No.
So, inflatable habitat up in space.
Oh.
There's a
this
problem
doesn't sound
that.
Good. Yeah. Aren't there pointy things in space?
That's what I'm saying. There's meteors, there's space garbage, there's all kinds of things that will snag and tear a hole
there's
in this inflatable.
There's totally some kind of, like, space thorn bush out there that we're not aware of.
It looks like it's the marshmallow-shaped units made with several layers of Vectrin, which is a material twice as durable as Kevlar.
You know what?
No,
not
no.
enough.
That's not enough.
Not enough.
I was like, wait a minute. I can cut that with scissors.
Yeah. You know, if we were up there, we'd be fucking around with some scissors and other sharp things.
Somebody has a bit too much
to
drink.
I just want
to
tack this up on the whole...
Oh, right.
that's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Let me just be clear that I would never go into space ever, not even for a second.
Mm-mm.
Kevlar, no.
Yeah, they're designed to ship in compact form, then inflate among the stars.
Okay, am I inflating my own hotel at this
up
point?
Up in space, yeah.
Oh, no.
No, thanks.
No.
Each module, the smallest of which measures 330 cubic meters. I forgot to do the
ask a European.
Yeah, how big that is, but it doesn't look big.
It doesn't look very big at all.
Yeah. Which will allow for flexible configurations by linking up to a chain of modules. So you can hook them up together and then walk between
It looks like a marshmallow necklace with stairs.
Yeah.
Like, that's my professional opinion.
It does. The company plans to send a cluster of its pods into orbit later this decade.
Go right ahead. Enjoy.
Then lease them out to educational institutions and aerospace companies, and possibly to vacationers with pockets deep enough to match...
Fine. Yeah, we got too many rich people already. Send them.
Yeah, the estimated cost starts at $50 million per person. $50 million per person to live in one of these space hotels.
Keep in mind that they're, where are they putting this? Just like floating in space?
Yeah, just floating out there.
Okay, there's nothing out there.
Bigelow insisted hosting visitors for 90 days at a time.
But I mean, it's one thing if they were like, hey, Katie, Jaquetta, we're going to put this on Jupiter. Do you guys want to be on Jupiter? This shit is just floating.
Yeah, and it's also staffed with professional astronauts.
That's what they've been reduced to? Yep. These are scientists. Like, now they're going to serve me a tea?
Yeah.
They're going to fluff a pillow?
Yeah, basically, like flight attendants in space.
Why does everything have to be
about
this?
That's a screenplay.
Flight attendants in space. That's trademarked already. Don't even try it.
The first stage of real space testing is just set to launch this year.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
With one module floating in orbit for 2 years.
I would just say, for all the wealthy people that are planning on doing this, just get a goodwill is what you need.
Yeah.
Before you go up there.
Yeah. But the plan hinges on how to get there and back.
Are you kidding me?
So there's a little bit of a snag in this plan. How to get there and back.
So they have the item. They have the hotel already, but they just don't know how to get it there?
Yeah, because it's compact. So they have to pack it up tight, mm-hmm. stick it in a rocket, stick the people in the rocket, go up into space. Now you're
hope
up there.
Hope this thing inflates.
And hope it inflates. Get your other astronauts to serve you the tea to get inside. Mm-hmm. And then you go in with your $50 million.
I feel like since this hasn't really happened yet, we could also do this business.
We could.
Very easily. We could show people this picture of this marshmallow.
Yeah. And, you know, and this plan is now in the works with the Las Vegas company. They seek a private contractor to manage logistics. So I just got to figure that part out.
The first time I went out to Las Vegas, they had this, they said you could fly. And they show you, it's like a huge room, mm-hmm. and they show people of it like in flight suits flying around. We went to see it. It's a huge like turbine engine. Yeah. You put on a flight suit, it blows you up in the air a little bit, and the guy pokes at you with a stick. That's like the equivalent of, do you know what I mean? Like, it looks awesome, but Greg and I went to see it, and we were like, they're just poking people in the air with a stick and charging them like $1,000.
Yeah.
That's, you know, this is the future.
That's it.
That's it.
You want to float in space?
Why would I want to do that? I don't know. I don't know.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, so I wanted to bring this up. Every once in a while I report on reality TV shows that are on TV or that are, you know, about that are casting.
Yeah.
So I found this. It's called Teledipi.
Okay.
This is the worst.
That's a horrible word.
Horrible name.
Yeah.
It says, calling all NYC millennials. Yeah. Have you recently entered the real world?
Have you?
It has little to do with graduating college, although for most of us, these two events occurred simultaneously. I don't know. I think I got into the real world at 13.
I think you're all in the real world.
Yeah. Right. It has everything to do with facing real adversity for the first time in your life. Who are these millennials that have never had adversity until they left college?
I don't know.
Keep in mind, most millennials haven't gone to college. Like, the majority of people don't have the, you know, the wherewithal or the opportunity to do
right,
that.
The opportunity.
Yes.
Because of the economic situation in the world.
So it says, there is resistance. Your mm-hmm. obstacles begin to rise. Your stairway to the top begins to shatter. You doubt your career plans and own personal success timeline. Life is not cooperating. You begin to wonder about the ultimate fate of your deeply held fantasies.
Oh, wow. That's sexy.
Yeah. Will they ever happen? We are currently looking for 12 protagonists.
No.
For a new web series presenting the modern application of an ancient process first thought out by Pythagoras. You know, A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
But 12 protagonists? Don't you need, like, one? It's just in a story.
It's a reality TV show, so maybe they're going to eliminate them. Right. I don't know. So they're going to take the Pythagorean theorem and apply it to the modern daily struggles of college graduates between the ages of 21 and 32. The Pythagorean theorem.
Okay.
So it says, this Pythagorean system is not a religion, cult, or magical solution to your problems. It is designed as a wake-up call. So I did some research on this.
Okay.
And this is something that I did not know. You may have known this. So there's the Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah, yeah.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Right.
But there was also a cult around it started by the Pythagoreans. So basically they were trying to, it was like a mysticism.
Really? Really?
I mean,
that's
fascinating to me.
They taught us this, and it would have made it so much more interesting.
Yeah, it says here, the ideas include metaphysics of numbers. All right. So that makes sense, because they had a formula, and they were trying to come up with other formulas to explain things mm-hmm. in life, like numeric formulas. It also, they were really into music and astronomy, because they felt that music and astronomy were just another way to express mathematics, and were a way that we could kind of frame, you know, the future for ourselves. They're talking about the use of philosophy as spiritual purification, the heavenly destiny of the soul, the union with the divine. They had a lot of symbolism, mm-hmm. a lot of numbers mm-hmm. and everything that went with it, about harmony, golden means, all this mm-hmm. kind of thing. It was a cult. Like, it was serious for hundreds of years in the ancient world. The Pythagoras. So what we got out of it was just the theory. Yes. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Mm-hmm. But the idea that they're trying to get 12 people to follow some kind of a program mm-hmm. and telling them that they're not a cult, that it's not cult-based when it is.
I mean,
I just Googled this. So...
Are they trying to fire up a new cult?
I have no idea what they're going to do. They're saying if you're selected, you'll be the star of a 5 to 12 minute episode where you will be prompted to convert your career fantasies into a detailed plan with specific milestones, and you'll be asked to make it clear based on the Pythagorean theorem and Pythagorean mysticism as well. Once your goal is set and your financial goals are clear, your video will be featured on a site driving a crowdfunding campaign for raising funds to support the support necessary to bring your project to light. Mm-hmm. If you're young and ambitious and ready to leave partying and drifting behind, although I found no evidence in the Pythagorean cult that you couldn't party and have a good time.
Yeah, but they were trying to tell you.
Yeah, but it was just so strange that they would present it and say, it's just like when someone's like, well, it's not a pyramid scheme. And you're like, well, it's shaped like a triangle. Like, there's like, one guy, then two guys, then three guys. Like, it's getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, my God. No, it sounds to me like, I mean, I'm going to get more conspiracy oriented with it and say that they are trying to fire up a new cult.
Yes.
Because kids don't know it. And this is the way to do it in the modern world.
Yeah. But to come, I mean, they picked Pythagoras on a Pythagorean theorem because... people really just think it's the A squared plus B squared equals C squared, but I found tons and tons of information about a very serious cult. It was, people took it seriously, people were skeptical about it, you know, and they say that when Pythagoras finally came up with the A squared plus B squared equals C squared, he sacrificed 1,000 oxen. Smells like a cult to me. Just saying.
Once again, what's the Pythagorean theorem?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. If you're into triangles. It's just so weird. That's the only thing I remember from math. Do you remember anything else?
No.
You know?
Not at all.
Like, I don't want to get Euclidean up on a motherfucker, but that's all I got.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I just think it's like, you just really have to be careful because people are coming at you with all kinds of weird shit. Like, it's not just the Jehovah's and, like, the A-train. Now I got to worry about this shit. Somebody coming up to you, which just seems like, you know, do you want to know about a triangle?
Sure, why not?
You know, it's a 90-degree angle over here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So bizarre.
That's a strange one. I can't believe you found
that. Look out for the Pythagoreans, people. They are out there. And they ain't playing.
No.
They are not playing. All right, what do you have?
I have some advice.
That got weird. Yeah. Okay, advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that, you know, stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we like to improve upon it by giving our advice on it. Mm-hmm. Hence, hashtag advice on advice. So Katie has some sweet A on A. She's going to lay on us.
That's right. Hi, Carolyn. This is from Carolyn Hacks.
Oh, okay. Hacks.
Yeah. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 5 years now, and it's been really great. We spent part of college together, overcome the transition of moving to a new city new and exciting city, mm-hmm. landed happy career paths, and moved into our first apartment together last year.
You're gonna make it after all.
Flinging my hat up in the air. All in all, the past 5 years have been amazing, and we've really been able to grow up together.
Okay, it's awesome, is what she's saying. Like, she keeps saying amazing.
And they've overcome challenges, and they push each other to be better people.
Okay.
You know,
Where is this going?
It really seems like the natural progression to get engaged, and I'm 100% ready for the commitment.
Okay.
I believe he is, too, based on his hints from friends and family, as well as our long-term conversations.
I'm so waiting for this to just devolve into ashes.
As a natural planner, I've already started looking at rings like I would like, and... I know exactly what I want, style, okay, price, etc. I even figured out when stores are having diamond sales so he would get the best deal.
Are you kidding me? Why don't you propose to him?
I know, right?
He'd probably be like, finally.
How do I make sure he knows exactly what ring I want without making a romance out of taking the romance out of it?
You can't.
I feel like ring shopping puts so much pressure on men and can take the spark out of the actual proposal. But what do I know? Signs ready for the altar.
Oh my God. This woman is in the driver's seat and the passenger seat. Chill out.
Oh my God.
This poor guy.
This guy is like, they grew up together, overcame challenges together.
But don't you think that he knows, I mean, that you guys seem like you would know each other pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to say, I don't give a shit about a ring. like, whatever. I don't have any, I've never had any real, like, okay, it needs to be this and that. You know what I mean? It's like, someone's going to give this to you.
You need a round or a square cut because they're the best to resell.
Okay.
That's all you need to
know.
That
makes sense to me. I mean, I love my ring, but I also love that it has a nice meltdown and resale value as well.
Yeah, right.
You don't know what's going to happen in the future with the economy, with the society. Who knows?
We're not trying to be cynical.
No, I'm just saying.
Right.
You know?
But man.
Maybe you need to turn it into a pair of, earrings later. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You don't know. It says, good question. Do you know whether you'd spend as much money on him to show how committed you are to his happiness? Do you know whether you'd marry him without the ring at all? Would you spend the equal amount of money on something for him?
Mm-hmm.
And would you marry him? Okay.
Okay.
Do you know what you do in life with him or without? If your life took a radically different turn from what your natural planner self had in mind?
Right. Realness just crept in.
Do you know for sure you want your life to include him for the sake of him, even if it meant stripping away the exciting city, happy career path, and spark?
Huh? Look, I think she was just saying, like, you know, I have really specific ideas about a ring.
Yeah.
I mean, am I reading this wrong? Like, like I said, it's not important to me.
Yeah.
But for some people, that's a really, you know, important thing. And you're going to have to be wearing it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those kind of people who's like, if someone gives me something and it's not my favorite thing, but I have a really strong attachment to that person, mm-hmm, that thing is now important to me.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's like if your kid gives you an ugly picture.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful picture.
Yeah,
and you put it up. You know,
because they're putting the work into it. They're looking at your face. And if your definition of romance requires the certain details not to be discussed in advance, do you know for sure romance and your investment in preserving it isn't blocked?
Hasn't
blocked your view of important.
Once again, she's just asking. This is more of I think this is more of an etiquette.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, cultural etiquette thing.
Right, right.
It's like, is there any way I really want this rose gold? This rose gold oval cut, you know, ring.
She said, and Carolyn goes on. She says, do you know how little a ring has to do with the rest of your life? Call me a kill buzz or be something else.
It's buzzkill.
But if you're, or a bee.
Or bee, yeah.
But if you're talking jewelry and third party hints, then when these have nothing to do with the actual intimacy. Oh my God. No,
she's just trying to figure out what are the proprieties to this.
Yeah.
Because some people, from what I understand, do shop together for a ring.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up thinking that that was the way that it was done. I thought the dude just went out and
got a ring.
But also, too, when we were growing up, it was just the diamond.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the diamond in a setting.
And that was it.
Can't imagine the nightmare of guys nowadays getting out there and it's like fucking Walmart of diamonds.
Right. And they have so much, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just the cost of the diamond. How much were you going to spend?
Yeah. And if you're in a more urban area, mm-hmm, you know, you get the diamond in one place.
Yeah.
You know, and then you might even get the setting
in another place.
Figure
it out.
But when you're growing up, everyone's rings were the same.
Yeah. You don't know what's important also, because it could be that you want your grandmother's setting and mm-hmm a new stone.
Well, that you have to communicate.
Yeah. So it's communication, but if you don't want to be that direct, then you tell one of your besties mm-hmm what you want, and then it's just a little game. Tell your bestie, and then your bestie tells the guy, and that's it, and it's over.
But in the event that this young man really feels like it's culturally appropriate for him to go out and make these choices, mm-hmm, I think you kind of have to respect that as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, what if he's going to give you his grandmother's ring?
Yeah.
Or his mother's ring? Or what if he, you know, has really definitely been saving up and saving up, and this is it. Like, don't give him stank face.
Yeah.
When it happens.
So the best option is to talk about it and be a
part
of it.
Yeah, have a conversation.
It. And then the second best is go through your BFF.
Yeah. Have someone intercede.
That's it.
He might be relieved.
But I don't know why she had to be...
had to go there with
she
it?
She had to go there and be a little bit much about
You know, I always say just stay on message.
Yeah. That's right, Carolyn. Stay on message. Next time.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Oh, this is a bizarre thing.
It looks German.
So Jaquetta just pointed to a picture, and it looks like it's a human form bent down, like almost in the thinker's pose.
But he's like encased in Mylar.
Right, and it's like if Mylar was put on both sides of the body, and then all the air was sucked
out. Imagine Han Solo frozen, but crouched. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah. It almost like, it's like an amber, like when you have the mosquitoes from years past.
But what is he
years
doing?
Past.
From 2015. Early 2015.
Anyway.